This is the first of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. For Medicare open enrollment, it's time to call Bailey Insurance Services and get everything all set up. And to Washington, D.C., it's Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. It is a happy Monday morning, if we may put the words happy and Monday together in a sentence.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I guess Kamala Harris is fit and ready to take on the presidency. All she has to do is get elected.
Well, yeah, to make it sound like it's so easy.
Oh, sure.
Well, one of the things that she did over the weekend is her doctor released her physical report, her health report. It showed that she is in, as the doctor's statement said, excellent health. That she has the physical and mental abilities to be president of the United States and commander-in-chief, and that she basically has a clean bill of health. There's really nothing wrong. You know, that she's 59 years old in comparison with Donald Trump, who has not released a recent health report, saying only that, you know, well, after his first assassination attempt, his former physician, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who is now, by the way, a member of Congress, said that he was fine. So that's not really a health report. And I don't know if you remember, it's kind of hard to forget this, but Donald Trump's personal physician, when he was running for president the first time, had he was an odd sort of person who released this statement that said that Donald Trump was the most fit person ever to be to run or to serve as president of the United States in the history of the country, et cetera, and so forth. And it seemed kind of an odd statement, but we were still trying to figure out Donald Trump at that point. And it was later admitted that Donald Trump dictated the report himself.
So, yeah, it sounds like his superlatives, doesn't it?
Well,
Did. It did.
Yeah. So do we know Kamala Harris's cholesterol level?
It's all in the report. Everything's fine.
Seriously,
there was
all
nothing
that stuff?
Remarkable, they said. Yeah, and nothing in the report was considered remarkable. What we saw was that was released Saturday was a two-page letter detailing the specifics. We didn't see, you know, the whole, you know, multi-page report, but it is there for the reading, if you know. And it said the only thing she suffers from is seasonal allergies and hives.
And hives.
For which she takes over-the-counter and sometimes prescription medication.
I was being kind of a smart aleck when I said the cholesterol level, but I wondered just how detailed the report would be. Would it have her labs? Would it have...
it said that all the lab work was unremarkable. I did not see the specifics. Just the statement, which detailed no cholesterol issues. She eats a healthy diet. She exercises regularly. You know, I mean, these are all in sharp contrast to the former president of the United States who loves him some cheeseburgers.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that he wouldn't be in agreement with a term like the labs were unremarkable. you know, he would want them to be the most remarkable
That's
of all time.
That's a good thing. Yes. But, that's actually a good thing in medical terms. Unremarkable, but yes, no. He would say, what do you mean? My labs are the most remarkable of any in the history of the human race.
But, you know, when I heard that he hasn't released, she challenged him to release his medical report, I believe. And when I heard that, I thought, well, why doesn't he just do another one like he did in 2016? I mean, what's
the... Because the doctor who did that has passed away.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
He passed away in 2021.
Okay.
I was watching Meet the Press yesterday morning, and the Speaker of the House was on, Mike Johnson was on, and he was asked about that, and, you know, why hasn't Donald Trump released his medical report? And he said he doesn't need to. You just see him. He's all over the place. He's doing rallies. He's doing all this stuff. The American people can see that he is the picture of health.
But can you imagine if Kamala Harris said the same thing? You know, I don't need to release my report. Look at me. I'm the picture of hell.
I would say both of the all four of these candidates are pushing themselves, I mean, to a point of total exhaustion. I don't know how in the world any of the four, whatever two get elected, are possibly going to be able to do their job after this campaign.
We've got campaign
rallies going at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then they're traveling throughout the day. Now, granted, they've got all their, you know, their needs taken care of, and they can sleep on the airplane and on the bus and all that stuff, but... You know, this is really...
It's not the same as having time to really give your body a rest, which is so important.
Yeah. But mentally, everything you say, every word you use is being scrutinized by millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be so careful. You've got the mental stress on this campaign, you know, I guess anybody who can survive... A presidential campaign probably deserves a job.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
Yeah.
I don't think I would say myself would survive that presidential campaign.
Yeah.
I'm still getting over a little cold after I came back from vacation. But, you know, do you remember when Bob Dole was running for president and somebody came up with the bright idea that he should just be the last week or so of the campaign, he should campaign 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
I don't remember that.
Who thought that was a good idea? Remember, he was constantly messing up his words, and I think at one point he tripped on a stage, and he was already, you know, up there in years at the time. And he said things like, you know, what we need is, he was really into the whole school choice issue, but he screwed it up and he said, what we need is a little scoy choose.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And that's something I do every morning. So
the one thing I liked about him is he always talked about himself. Bob Dole feels this
way. Bob Dole says.
Yeah.
Bob Dole.
Yeah. Well, I guess it got the name recognition out there.
Yeah.
Now, John.
Yeah.
John talked about the ardor, you know, how tough it is, this constant touring. I saw, and I don't remember how many times, that Kamala Harris is back in North Carolina for, I don't know, the 12th time, the 15th time. I mean, they keep going back to these battleground states over and over again.
I get the impression that the battleground states are the only ones that matter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we really do need to look at it that way. There are the blue wall states, most of which are the Democrats are pretty confident that they will win again. And in those blue wall states are some battleground states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, you know, some other states as well. North Carolina is very important. Arizona is important. Minnesota is important. But you'll notice they spend a lot of time in three key states in particular, and one of them is Pennsylvania, and now North Carolina. Now, one of the reasons North Carolina is so important is because of the recent hurricane. The president and the vice president and the former president need to show that they are with the people who have suffered a major disaster with Hurricane Helene. And then the back-to-back hurricane of Hurricane Milton. So, you know, that's why we have, for example, President Biden, who flew over Florida yesterday and was on the ground in Florida for part of the time to assess the damage from Milton. That's why we have President Biden saying that Congress needs to come back and pass some more emergency funding. Saying on the one hand, the Federal Emergency Management Agency has all the funds it needs, that it's built for dealing with emergencies, including back-to-back hurricanes like Helene and then Milton. But this is not an infinite stream of funding. And at some point, if there's another hurricane, you know, which is very, very likely, very soon, given the time of year that it is, you know, there could be, you know, a need for even more funding. And then... what he also has pointed out is that the Small Business Administration really needs some additional funding soon, because those are the ones who are going to help the long-term recovery of business people trying to get back to work, trying to rebuild. And the House Speaker Mike Johnson is saying, look, you know, we'll come back when we come back, probably not before Election Day.
And again, on Meet the Press yesterday, he told Kristen Welker, look, we got lots of time here. You know, we'll come back after the election and we'll get more money. We'll know where more money is needed. We'll know how much is needed. What we don't know is, are we going to have another one of these? You know, we've already had two hurricanes and tornadoes to go with them that have just blown across almost the same path. What's to stop another one? I mean, we're still in the season. Not to mention we've got earthquakes that happen. Well, we've had earthquakes here just south of us.
Wind damage, flooding.
Flooding, yeah. We've got...
wildfires.
Yeah. Well, the wildfire season here in Montana, we got one major fire left, and that's about it. But, boy, Oregon is still burning up. California is still burning up. And so these people are going to need help, too.
Yes. Yes. And, you know... FEMA is saying we're handling this. This is what we're built for. We can do this. We're doing fine. We have everything we need now. But down the road, maybe not so much.
Well,
one of the things that I think we also have to consider here is in the budgetary process. We haven't had a budget in better than a decade. And as a result, boy, we're just digging into the old credit cards.
Yeah. And that is something that everybody complains about in Congress, that they're not doing a normal budgetary process, but nobody does anything about it, kind of like the weather.
Well, I don't know what to make of it all. But, you know, as far as the funding goes, what is Mike Johnson thinking about putting it off until after the election? Does that mean if the Republicans win, they don't have to fund any of this stuff because they don't like FEMA, you know? Or does it mean that they can come in and be the hero? I don't know what's going to happen. Why the delay when people are in need right now who are going to vote one way or the other?
Well, the delay is that the people need to get reelected, and the election day is really their top priority. Their top priority is keeping their jobs. So they say we can deal with this later, but in terms of not wanting to fund FEMA, you know, a lot of these disasters have happened in red states, and for them not to approve disaster funds in their own states, which, by the way, they have done before in Florida. A majority of the Republican delegation has not approved, has voted against disaster relief in the not-so-recent past. And now they seriously are in need of that disaster relief. So I guess either they are more concentrated on getting reelected or they don't want to come across as hypocritical if they find themselves trying to be fiscal hawks and then voting for disaster relief. That would go against their fiscal hawk, you know, persona. So they put themselves in a bind. But then again, if they vote against disaster relief and for their own constituents, that puts them in a separate bind. So this is a very uncomfortable vote for them. And maybe Johnson doesn't want to put them in that kind of a position.
Okay, now when they're in their home territories, they want to get reelected, and their constituents are thinking, we got a need for money and funding. How come you haven't done that? Are they listening more to their constituents or donors that are paying the bill to get them elected?
Well, you know, I guess you kind of have to ask them that. But, you know, the first job number one for Congress is to keep job number one, which is their job.
And of course, that's always been the job of the Speaker of the House. Job one is to keep his job, and to keep his job, he's got to stay in the majority.
Right.
But
and
that's
he needs
really
to protect his majority.
But that's really job number two. Job number one is doing the budget.
Yeah, but that always seems to be pushed down.
We've gone in a circle now, haven't we, John?
Well, I guess from the position of the Speaker of the House, whoever that person is, the question becomes, the question becomes, if I don't have the job, I can't do the job. And if I I don't have the job, and I won't have the job if I don't have a majority of members. So I've got to get everybody reelected, which is one of the reasons why Speaker of the House is always somebody who is a great fundraiser.
Which is one of the reasons why Nancy Pelosi was so powerful. Yep. She was a wonderful, unrivaled fundraiser.
Yeah.
And that was very important to become Speaker of the House.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Well, thank you, and we'll talk in circles tomorrow.